Well, there you go. So, album number five. And the title, as you've alluded to, Searching for Freedom. I hope it doesn't take you your entire career to discover freedom, but you're five albums in. Are you any closer?
I had a great comment from a friend the about a week ago, and I put out like a post online because since the album's been out, we occasionally put out posts saying, day 47, and I'll tell fans what I did that day. And so I put out day 47 for Searching for Freedom. My friend said, "Man, I'm getting really anxious. I hope you find it soon." We're getting closer. Five albums in, we are getting closer, that's for sure.
Good.
It's right there. It's right there. Lot of freedom in making music, I find, for sure. It's one of those things. The title could be taken for Searching for Freedom in the sense of everything that eludes responsibility, which for me, I don't necessarily feel a lack of freedom through the responsibilities that I have as like an independent musician, or as I feel like as a semi-functioning member of society. And so it speaks a lot to this the emotional, spiritual pursuit as well, For sure.
Absolutely. And you refer to Searching for Freedom as a new chapter. What informed that shift, or the closing of the last chapter?
I'm just quickly letting this plane pass. I'm going to close this one window. We live near an airport.
No worries.
Almost impossible to escape that noise. Yeah.
I think it's at such a what do they call it? The tone is so low that, yeah, as you say, you can't escape it.
That's right. Yeah, what brought this to a new chapter? I think each album has been a new chapter for me. So I felt like Laps Around the Sun kind of really spoke to the chapter of my life of chasing laps around the sun, trying to achieve the impossible, playing, 100, 120 something shows that year in 2019 around the world. And it spoke kind of to like, it spoke to the state of the status quo, I guess, of how we were all operating at that time. And it's hilarious that this whole concept of searching for freedom and the shift, so the shift in my life, the shift in society, and the album have all kind of coincided naturally, And so, yeah, that this time has been a very new chapter, because of obviously what's happened, in the world in the last year or two. And so this whole, and so it already was a new chapter, but it would have perhaps been more a more familiar chapter if I was still playing shows. But because I completely stopped playing shows as well, it did really ring a new chapter to dive deeper and not be on the run, so to speak.
Because I think for a lot of artists, if they were coming off the back of a tour, of an extended period on the road, kind of lockdown was something that, they had kind of built up reserves, so they were in a better position than those who were about to kind of head out. But I was chatting to the South African group by the name of Good Luck, and they, like you, had literally just come off the road before everything kind of changed, and it afforded them, an opportunity to really be introspective, and because they, like we all, we none of us had a, had a choice, and they found the whole experience, oddly cathartic.
I'm
And
just
Airplanes, it's okay, no worries. No one's supposed to be flying, for goodness sake.
not where I live, apparently. These
Yeah.
little they're little biplanes too, they're the noisy ones as well. Can you hear me now?
I can, no worries.
I would agree that because there was a sigh of relief. I would say that in one way, when all the shows, I remember this one moment where when the tour got cancelled and obviously the prospect of all those shows were getting cancelled. And one where I was very joyous because it was like, oh, like that's a bit of reprieve, you know? And then I also almost in the same moment was like, but it made me think of like the Chinese, like the old Chinese farmer kind of analogy of the man has his horse and it runs away and they say, what bad luck. And then the horse brings back a bunch of wild horses and they say, what fantastic luck. And then his son is training one of the wild horses and breaks his leg. And his neighbors say, what bad luck. And then army conscription comes and he's injured and can't go to war. And they say, what good luck. And the whole time the farmer says, maybe. And that's how I feel this whole experience has been, because there's been such, for me anyway, such incredibly awesome things that have come from it, mixed with a deep, you know, some deep, deep, dark, harder times. You know, my partner's from overseas. She's from Europe, so she can't go back to see her family. Mm. And the collective human experience, there has undoubtedly, I think, been like a lot going on. And so it has been, this is how I put it simply. I think physically it's been very good for me. I'd say physically it's been very, very good. And I would say that on a mental level, I would say it has brought challenges. That doesn't mean it's bad, but I think that like the mental challenge of the limbo that we can all be in as community, society, you know, country, whole world. Mm. That's the stuff that it is challenging us, you know, I am lucky that we built some reserves and that we were in a position that our first and foremost thing isn't trying to feed our family. Mm. And I feel for a lot of the people who are in that position right now, you know, so that is, I guess, what I speak to of like the polarity of the whole situation, you know?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think, you know, as you say, that everyone is, I wrote a piece last year saying that everyone's affected, but everyone is not affected. You know, it's a subtlety.
Yes, that's beautiful. That freaking says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I think, as I say, I think an interesting opportunity, as you say, and it's hard when, you know, kind of all of your, well, so many of your choices are taken away from you, and then you kind of have to go inward in order to kind of sustain and maintain, which I think is really interesting. And I mean, you know, talking to your lyrics especially, I was wondering, you know, are they entirely autobiographic, you know, or are you, you know, certainly on this album, did you find yourself interpreting the world around you more than speaking of your own life?
It's a good question, and I have to think. I'm just running through the songs in my head. A lot of it is autobiography kind of thing. A lot of it is. I'd say it's like largely autobiographic, and then I'd say second, it is commentary. Second most of the work, I'd say, would be like commentary. A way that's metaphorical, it's off my experience, but like songs like Circus. Mm. I've never been in a circus, but it speaks to my experience of when life has felt like a circus, or your internal space has felt like a circus. And then if I think songs like Searching for Freedom, they kind of are for myself, but for the people, they're not directly, you know, the song Searching for Freedom is kind of touching on core fundamentals, what I think like makes us who we are or helps us move forward, you know. This album, you know, I think of songs like Feeling You, you know, is another track, you know, speaking outside of singles. Feeling You is another track that was kind of, you know, sitting about a meter away from where I am now and kind of contemplating the world and the cosmos and making some, you know, there's a line, it's track 11 off the album. There's a line in there. It's, it says, there's dogs out in the streets chasing satellites. And that's like, you know, speaks to kind of like, the future or where we might have satellite pollution or where we already have satellite pollution now, but where that sort of stuff actually might block our way to the stars. And so there is bits and pieces you would pick in the album or you could interpret in the album that are definitely speaking wider than just my own love and heartbreak experience. And that's probably a big part of this album, is it dives well outside of that typical space. I love writing from that space of the yin yang, you know, male, female, whatever you want to call it, like that relationship dynamic. But it's been fun to expand for sure.
Which then leads me to my next question, which clearly Searching for Freedom is a cathartic record for you, or certainly was to make.
Look, for me, absolutely. It was amazing to spend this much time making a record, because it was like 13 or 14 months from when we started to when we finished. And to my whole life shifted as far as it was quite an extreme. So I went from touring in kind of short bursts, a couple weeks here or there at home, but really just living out my backpack kind of thing. And to barely leaving the suburb, as far as I was surfing within the 100 kilometers of where I was, and I didn't go to the city once for 6 months, and I was making a record up in the trees in the hills, you know, about 20 minutes from where I am. And so making a record with the luxury of time and to be in a position to like take the time in studio, so it's not when the song isn't coming to or the recording isn't coming to, stepping out. And I think that made the record one. What I'd say I'm really stoked about with the record is that I feel like it is a fairly, even with a lot of different topical stuff, and it's not all just happy-go-lucky songs, but I feel like the overall vibe is fairly calm. I'd say, like, if I look to Laps Around the Sun, when I listen to them side by side, the only way I could describe it is it's like, it felt like this album kind of just shifted into like a more settled place. And maybe that also, I wanted this record not to shout at people. I wanted to, like, I didn't want to get people's attention by being the loudest, the brightest, the look here kind of record. Hence even why little things like why there is capitals on the song titles, which it's a nightmare for my team, but the point in part was kind of to not be shouting, to kind of try and to not be vying for attention in the way that's so common in how we market and operate in general, in how you're trying to make your way through the music world. You know, I want it to be singing, not shouting, you know, and I think the record overall has a fairly settled sense to it. And that's was a big achievement for me.
It's that old kind of adage of saying that if you whisper, you know, people kind of, come in closer and listen, you know, with intention, versus having something kind of thrust at you as well. And I think it also talks to a confidence, you know, at a stage of your career where, you know, you believe in the songs, you believe in what they can bring, and that, yeah, you don't need to shout it from the rooftops. And if anything, you know, settle in and engage with them, you know, with the songs, if you're going to really get the true essence of what, you know, what you're singing about, which I think is, yeah, that's it's not common, and it's lovely.
Thank you. I think the biggest goal, because it's been so, I mean, talking about this makes me think of sitting with a friend at a local little cafe. And he's at that point in his career, fantastic musician, Teoski. And he's kind of, he hasn't done the things that I've done yet, you know, to speak into like that. There's a lot of people who had their plans to go and do that big world tour, to go do this, to go do that. And like I said to him, I was like, I've done more than I ever even planned on doing. I didn't even have a bucket. I didn't even have like my list of this is what I got to achieve in my career, you know, and have achieved so much more than what I ever set out or planned or ever dreamed of doing. And with this record, I just, like, it was such a forefront of my mind to try and bring the best energy I could to the songs, you know, like I just wanted it to be good for people. Like, that's the only way I could say is I wanted the songs to be good for people. That's like successful in whatever way or this, that, the other, but like that stuff was secondary to, like, I just want these songs to be good for people, you know. That's
it's important to you, you know. It's a case of if you engage with them, they can be good for you. So your will or your hope is take the time, engage with them, and they will hopefully reward the listener as much as they've clearly rewarded you in their creation.
Absolutely. I think that's, I mean, that's the beauty of music is such, like, I feel as a listener of all the music that I listen to, like, oh, you just, there's so many times you look up and you're like, thank goodness that person wrote this song, you know. It's like, it's such an intrinsic part of the human experience and human connectivity, how we process things, like how you feel connected to the world, I think, you know. And good songs take you there, that's true. For sure.
No, definitely. I mean, that's the power of music, and we could talk ad nauseum about that, because it is you know, besides keeping you sane. But I was wondering, because you know, you're such a flipping rock star on things like Spotify, and you have eye-watering numbers of streams, so there's a lot of data, you know, that's available to, you know, the likes of you, and I wondered if any part of that informs the, you know, certainly on this record, yeah, did you find yourself looking for commonalities in kind of the songs that had more streams than others, and trying to kind of understand at a distance what you know, what those triggers were that kind of got people excited about a particular song, you know, and, you know, to the point that, you know, that you considered that in writing, you know, some of the material for this record.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say the song that really kind of went head and shoulders at one point, that kind of broke through to what I think anyway, was Runaway, which was really hilarious, because Runaway was a song I recorded for, basically there was an advertisement and they needed a song. This is 6 years ago, and I didn't want to give them my best song. And so I was like, I'll give them my second best song, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a song called Runaway. And that's kind of really broke my name into so many places, which is just utterly hilarious. And that was something we recorded willy-nilly in about 2 days. Like, we put our best effort in, but it was not something we did that in 2 days. Mixed it and went and got mastered. It was like, it was not a, what's the word?
A single.
It's not a hectic. Yeah, it was fairly a simple thing. And and I think that for me, I would say I, with this album, what I did consider is that I look at stories like a flow, a kind of thing, the same way I kind of look at sets, live music sets. I like to try and start somewhere. Obviously, an album, I think typically you come forward with your, I find you start on a high note and you dip it down, you bring it up towards the end, is like how I think you approach an album. And yeah, I'd say that's flipped a little bit with a live set. You start up to go down and get to your crescendo moment. Because I think I feel like by accident, it was actually not on purpose, but we had all, like, basically all the singles we released were tracks 2 to 5. which I would have done differently, but we didn't know at the time that would be the case, you know. I think what I look at similarities, like, as far as, for me, I guess to answer the question in short, is that on this record, I wanted to have like a piano song. I like to have a piano moment on the record. And I like to have like a really stripped back ballad moment on the record. But that's less driven by them being successful, and more that's how I want the dynamic of the record to play out. And so I would like to have a kind of, I do want a couple quite upbeat songs on the record, because that's how I like, that's a dynamic I like as a part of my live set. I like as a part of the record. And, but who would have guessed, for example, like we put out Together, we recorded it and released it in like I basically wrote it, recorded it, released it in about a month. And that was, yeah, it was like a crazy turnaround, because we had we had really big fires, and I wrote it inspired trying to rally people together through that intense period in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And raise a bit of money.
Mm.
And so raise a bit of money for the cause. And long story short, that is still the Head and Shoulders song off the record at, you know, I don't know, 12 or 13 million streams, you know, which is, that may be as good as a song has ever done for me, you know. And there seems to be a commonality between the songs that are written just for like the importance of the song being written.
Yeah.
And recorded without a lot of pressure. Because I think what happens is you think, as an artist, these songs you think will be the single, will be the hit. And frankly, people just tell you, like the fans and the listeners will tell you naturally what comes to the surface, you know.
Which is
so we take a guess.
Yeah, it's lovely because you, as you say, you don't know, or you assume. And I think as the body of work grows, it becomes a lot noisier for you to go, you know. And then, like you said, the ones that you kind of weren't indifferent about, but that you were. You just got on with it with no agenda. There was, not to say that any song is ever contrived, but you did it just because, you know, and you, so as I said, like there was no agenda, no intention, like going, I really believe in the song and I think it's going to be, you know, my best one yet. And, you know, and then yet off it goes. And that's the joy of the algorithm. It's like, if you could figure that out, you know, we'd all be rather wealthy. And
it seems like the relaxed approach that was exactly the opposite of making a hit. Because what songs have done best? Like if I think of like the songs that do perform best, they're not the songs that you're like, that's going to be the hit.
Yeah,
they're the songs that you like write because you really need to write them. Or we're fairly relaxed about, which is hilarious.
Yeah, well, it just shows you how kind of connected I think the audience is that they like you when you're not parading, you know.
I think you're right. I think subconsciously, and I think subliminally, that people, I think the human experience, that human sensitivity picks up on that way more than we even know. Like, I think it really does. And that's why I think it's important to go and make, when you're recording songs, I really try and be present in the story. I'm not just trying to like hit notes, you know?
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think I've been to live concerts where you can absolutely see it, you know, and you can take some of the biggest bands in the world who don't necessarily need to, you know, they can pitch up and everyone will just be completely happy that they did. But when they're absolutely engaged in it, it makes it even more special, I think, which is amazing, which kind of leads me on to the next question, which was the live stream you did in March. Take us through that experience, because obviously that was the exact opposite to what you had done the previous year.
Yeah, I would say in a word, it was all intense. So start of the year, we brought out he brought out, I think it was Letting Go. Hmm. So he brought out a new single. We released a poetry book. Self-published a poetry book. Hey!
In the room.
Yeah. And then we released the album and then announced the live stream, and I had to kind of build the live sound and rehearse the songs, which for once, the way I used to record stuff, for example, record albums, is I knew the songs so well and that's why I went and did them for the album. Whereas this one, I wrote some of the songs during the album process because I was just inspired by the recording process and wrote songs during the record.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had this pretty major task of trying to pull that all together for a live set. So it was fairly daunting and very, very intense, simply because I went from being, amongst my friends, we call it match fit. Like, I went from being a match fit, player to like my life is not indicative of like the shows I was playing. So, last shows I played in Australia were like, the biggest show was 13,500 people sold out. And, the smallest show was, a couple thousand people saying, like, it was all crazy big shows, all ridiculous. And like my day-to-day life is more one of a surfer. And it's like biking around the little town I live in. I live in a little beach shack and like there's no front fence. Like it's really bizarre. Like everything, it feels like such a past life experience, all of the live performing and the bright lights and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, doing the live stream was intense, and doing it was really euphoric because there's things that you miss about playing shows that you don't know that you missed till you're there again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a coping mechanism. Maybe you just block it out, because if you can't do it, you just block out that experience. Mm-hmm. But there was like eating chocolate and chips backstage. I was like, I miss chocolate and chips.
Mm-hmm.
With my Motley Crue backstage, and I miss the weird Motley Crue of what is being a musician or the music industry. Not the contrived part of it, the actual people on the ground and everything. You miss that interaction of this weird tour family thing that you have going, and this gypsy lifestyle essentially of traveling around the world. Just those things that kind of it's a fine life to live, that's for sure. I've thought many times it's a fine life to live city hopping in a bus or in a van and, going to all these different places in the world and the experience you have. And so the whole experience was intense, but then very, very euphoric, because we also had like 100+ family and friends and people who worked on the record upstairs in the venue. And then downstairs was like hardcore, long-time subscribers who got offered the tickets to come and see the show. And so everyone was just so happy. It was just such a fantastic moment and a great precursor to hopefully the shows that we do moving forward with the new album.
Because I think that for a lot of the considerations around, the last sort of 18 months, give or take, it's there are elements that you can, when you are out there playing to bigger rooms, that you'll bring a lot of that along as well and grow the room because you can. I think the technology aside, if you can have 10,000 people in a room and then you can have another 100,000 kind of virtually plugging in, I just think that's just takes it to a whole new level in a way that so many bands, it was a novel thing to do, to do a live concert, to television or whatever the case may be. Whereas this is quite different, I think, because you've got two communities. You've got the in the room community and then you've got this live community, and they're inextricably bound by your music, which I think is remarkable. And you spoke about Brainwaves, your book of poetry, which is absolutely amazing. It's one of the most calming poetry books I've ever read, because it literally, you know, my recommendation is, if anybody suffers from any level of anxiety, you know, have this by, you know, have this close by. And when you have those moments, you literally, yeah, it just dissolves. So very awesome. Rich, very rich in, yeah, in its ability to achieve that. But with brainwaves, to me, initially when I wrote the question, it was, you know, is it a complementary supplement? And then after I'd sent the questions through, I thought, no, well, it isn't. It doesn't have to be, right? But if you have both and you're engaged with both, then it just pops.
It was fairly accidental, but it's absolutely become a new dimension that fits with the album, and I would absolutely consider releasing the next poetry book with another album because they seem to have had such a great life together, and they are complementary of each other. Like, I think they are vice versa. Like, I think there is people who I saw my first YouTube comment start, you know, earlier in the year, that someone had discovered my music. The first time I saw someone discovered my music because of the poetry book.
Amazing.
And that was, yeah, that was brilliant. It's so funny because there's not a lot of lyrical crossover from Brainwaves. Brainwaves isn't, for the most part, most of it isn't in lyrics, and that's really cool. And I have felt them very, it's almost like the stuff from Brainwaves is what bubbles to the surface from Stillness. And it's from the busyness, looking over at my guitar, it's from the busyness of life that I write my songs. So they're kind of like, that's the best way I can say how they have both come to life. It's been, Brainwaves, I felt, was very, for lack of a better word, like a pure project, because it was so, it came out of meditation, which was driven for me by just feeling like I just need that, the busyness wasn't, I wasn't getting settled through continued busyness. Mm. And so one day I went and sat on the beach and was like, I just need to sit down till I figure something out. And I realized just like sitting down doing nothing was exactly what I needed to do. Mm. And so it became this personal thing that I did and took around me all around the world that was for the joy of doing it, because it had nothing to do with any career-based thing. And that is a special place, because once you release the book, then you do stuff like, and that doesn't make it less special for me. But what I mean is just that it was born out of the same place that music was born out of first, which is just like this thing that you do. It's not because I'm going to be a musician. I didn't go, I'm going to be a poet. I wrote poetry because it made me feel, it helped me make sense of what I kind of realized. Helped me make sense of what I was realizing, and I felt like it was important to write it down, at least for me. If other people...
A roadmap.
Yeah. 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 Actually wrote a song called Roadmaps the other day. Funny to say that.
That's great. I'm just aware of the time. I think I've overrun by 8 minutes, so I apologize profusely.
That's fine. We're having... I love... It's great through... You know, this is the thing you're supposed to say, but there really has been a truly incredible uptake of support from South Africa with this album. I felt like for the listeners in South Africa, and the amount of fantastic conversations I've had have been truly just a treat. It's been really been one of my favorite things. I know you should say this about each, but it's truly been like,
South Africa is just above your head, by the way. If you turn around, the way you are situated, your commitment is real. You can't fake
that's
that.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah, look, it truly has, like, the support we feel like we've had coming from South Africa through this new album, and it's truly been a real joy, and it makes me really excited to the prospect of coming over there and coming and experiencing the country and playing some shows and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what I hope, you know. And so it's just a very exciting thing, and makes me, you know, I've had lots of really great conversations with so many different music people from South Africa, which has been just, yeah, really a treat.
Mm, yeah, you very much loved. And I think Mel Conradi, who looks after you here, is arguably your biggest fan, and champions you at every corner. So, you know, thanks to her for the introduction, because I didn't get there on my own, but once I did, you've got another, you have another one. So now you have another fan. But thank awesome. You so much for your time, and we look forward to your return to South Africa, hopefully in the not too distant future. But in the meantime, we have beautiful poetry, we have a beautiful album. Life is sweet.
Awesome. Now, like I said, it's something I look forward to as well. And on behalf of our whole independent family team, we just particularly through this time where we're not touring, we're just so stoked to have the support, and we're glad everybody's resonating. And I hope you guys are healthy and well over there during this interesting time in humanity.
Yeah, likewise. And thank you again for the time. And as I say, stay well, stay on the water, and stay safe. Yeah, we need you in one piece. You know, don't take don't do that one wave that you shouldn't do.
I'll keep it in mind.
Great, thanks so much, sir. Have a good day.
A pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Cheers.
Speak to you again.
Yes. Cheers.